Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now, Earl Pants Car Talk, brought to you by the friendly people at Quaker State Oil. Earl Pants Car Talk is a service of Earl Pants Automotive. If you want to know how to fix your car or what to do in case of an automotive emergency, once a week on this station, it's Earl Pants Car Talk. I'm Buffy McGee, and here now is Earl Pants. All right, thank you. Thanks a lot, Buffy. And, Tay, welcome everybody here to Earl Pants Car Talk. And we're going to be talking today about problems that we all have. They're common, and we certainly can do a whole lot about them. But you need to have information. You need to have the facts at your fingertips. And I certainly would want to help you with any problem you've got today. But we'll just open up the phone lines right now and take your questions and comments here on Earl Pants Car Talk. And our number again is 1-800-555-214-6 7146. All right, it's a brand new 800 line that we've just got ordered in, and I'm very excited about it because it's, you know, it's going to be a little less expensive for all of us. Again, that number is 1-800-555-631-472-8173-24891-6. And if you just remember that, I'll give it again at the break. I know it's long. I know it's kind of different. It's kind of wild. But the phone company, some guy called and sold me on it. He said, oh, this will be good for you, Mr. Pants. I said, well, okay, you know. So, again, it's like a 16-digit number or something. So give us a call right now or here on Earl Pants Car Talk, and we'll try to help you out and take the first call here. This is Jim. Hey, Jim, good morning. Welcome to Earl Pants Car Talk.
Hey, Earl, how are you?
Good.
Earl, my question is very simple. I purchased a 1976 Ford Falcon. It has approximately 71,000 miles on it.
Well, that sounds like a good car.
It's very good, and I've refitted it, and I've refurbished it. I've gotten a whole new interior. I put in a brand new radio, new tires, put a paint job on it, redid the engine, all the lining. So we worked on it. And then the other day I was driving in it, and the brakes went out. And I'm just wondering what I should do in the future, because what I did do is I leapt from the car, you know.
Uh-huh. You just jumped out.
Well, yeah. I mean,
well, let me tell you, that's a common problem. You know, I get so many emails. I get so many emails. People, what do I do if the brakes go out on a car? Well, let me tell you, one of the great things you can do is aim it for a wall. Now, if the brakes are out, you don't want to run into another guy's car.
Uh-huh.
So aim it right for a wall. The other thing you can do is roll a window down and yell for help. Have somebody call AAA. Now, I'll give you, it's funny that you mentioned that because we got a piece of tape. Jody, we still got that tape?
Yeah, I think so.
This is of a guy sent this in, and he had a tape recorder going of a guy going by his house whose brakes had gone out, and he screamed out for them to call AAA, and sure enough, AAA came out there. They never were able to catch him because his brakes went out, and he went right into the he went off a cliff, off a bluff, and went to the Pacific Ocean. But at least AAA was on it. Go ahead and play that. Here's the tape of this gentleman. His brakes went out, and here he is. Do that again, Jody. I don't think the folks heard it.
Hold on. I got to re-rack.
All right. Where are you from?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm from Hueytown, Alabama, and right now I'm living in Tampa, Florida.
All right. You've got that, Jody?
Yeah, okay.
All right. Here's this gentleman's brakes went out, calls for AAA. All right, now they're right there, see?
That's great.
All right. Now let's go to another caller. And hi, how are you doing? Welcome to Earl Pants Car Talk.
Hey, Earl. Say, what happens if your steering goes out, see? See, that's the whole other thing. And I don't know what you do then.
All right, well, steering is a tough deal. Woo, that's a tough one, but it is common. If your steering goes out, just put your hands over your eyes so you won't see what happens to the people that are embedded in the grill of the car. That's not, you know, I can't.
What the hell kind of answer is that?
Well, that's all I want. What do you mean? When your steering goes out, pray. Do we have that tape of the guy whose steering went out?
We do.
Here's a guy whose steering went out. So there you go. Now let's move to another car. Hi, you're on Earl Pants Car Talk.
Hi, Earl. I have two questions. A question, actually, and a follow-up, if I may be permitted.
Certainly.
As the result of how stupid I am, really, and how badly I drive, a gasoline tanker truck had to brake for me as I was merging onto the freeway. It jackknifed and then exploded, sending a searing wall of flame and smoke in the air. And it shut down the interstate probably for a good 8 hours. Is there something we can do to keep these people from transporting gasoline on our interstates, or is it just wistful thinking? And I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
You said you had a follow-up question.
Goodbye.
Jesus. Well, not really. I mean, these guys are transporting gasoline. It's at the speed you transport the gasoline. In fact, here was a guy who was completely drunk. And, you know, he was completely drunk. He was transporting gasoline. Here's what happened. He drove his car right into the ocean. All right.
Okay, can I have my follow-up?
I thought you hung up.
No, I didn't, actually. When you said I thought you had a follow-up, then I said, whoop. You know, just as soon as the phone was going down, I stopped and I came back. My follow-up question is, should I feel guilty?
About causing the...
About jackknifing the truck?
No, I wouldn't feel guilty about that at all. Truck drivers know what they're up against out there. Real, total, completely brain-dead idiots like you. Why wouldn't he expect you to come swinging out onto the freeway right directly in front of him as he's transporting gasoline? In fact, here's the sound of a guy who's transporting gasoline as a guy like you pulls out in front of him. All right. Well, that's it for Earl Pant's Car Talk. We want to thank you very much. If you've got questions, comments, feedback, you can email them to us. Most of it gets deleted. I don't know how to work it yet. My secretary, Jody, he's going to show me one of these days. I don't know how to work the damn things. I just delete all of it. But go ahead and send it on in here to Earl Pant's Car Talk in care of Car Talk. And our email account is earl@pants.talk. That's Earl's Pants at, what is that again?
Earl Pant.
Okay, it's Earl Wears Pants at cartalk.com. Is that it?
No, that's not it.
Well, I don't know how the hell to read this. What's that little squiggly deal?
Help!
Earl Pants Car Talk, brought to you by Quaker State Motor Oil. Keep rolling right on through the detour sign with Quaker State. Earl Pants Car Talk does not endorse running roadblocks. I'm Earl Pence.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
You know, I was just talking to my good friend, Mr. Newman, about, you know, you get home repair or any company that you deal with that doesn't do a good job, and they will follow up sometimes. They'll whether they do a good job or not, a good company will follow up with the person who calls. Hi, we're calling from Eddie's Hair Pieces. We just wanted to make sure that your hair, you know, your head was put together good. You know how they'll ask you those questions? And don't you just feel like it's your day? Don't you just feel that the good Lord is smiling on you when after the company has done a horrific job, you get that call a week later? Hi, we're calling from Bob's Hair Pieces. How was our work? And then you can just... Yeah, go ahead. Ask me some questions. Well, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being worst, how was our cabinet installation? 1. And then you just go from there, right? And I got the same call from the cats that I bought my car from. That was standard. Hey, by the way, Jaguar, how do I say this delicately? Do you really have to hire the guy with the English accent? Give me a break. Come on, man. That must work with some people. I bet you I know who it works with. All them cats that buy the S-Series up in Bakersfield. I'm only joking. But, you know, the guy calls you, hello, Mr. Hendry, and my name is, Colin, and I'm calling from Jaguar in New Jersey. How are you today, sir? I'm very good, Colin. And so what, you know, like, what mime group do you work for? Well, no, sir. I'm a British engineer, mechanic, and I wear the long coat, you know, the white coat that makes us look like we're freaking doctors when actually all we're doing is changing oil. Yeah, that kind of guy. And anyway, what is it with the Brits and those mechanics with the long white coats? You love those guys? I like Jaguar. They've done a good job for me. It took a while. I had to kick them around a little bit. I had to kick them until they bled. I had to kick them until they were unconscious with a steel-toed boot, wearing my jack boots and my, my Hitler youth cap. But it finally kicked in, if you'll pardon the expression. And now the cats, they're great. But, you know, you get that question. And by the way, Sears came through for me, man. Did I tell you? I got the call, Shirley from Sears in Chicago. I didn't tell you? They called me up, Shirley. And she sounded like the greatest gal.
Hello, Mr. Henry. This is Shirley, and I'm calling from Chicago, Sears in Chicago. How are you?
I'm very good, Shirley.
And I see here where you have a problem with your watch.
Well, yeah. See, we called, and, you know, at that point, you kind of revert to being 12 years old. Yeah. And then I called the guy and everything.
Uh-huh.
And he yelled at me and stuff. And you know, and she was so sweet. She goes,
well, we're going to get somebody out there for you, Mr. Henry.
Well, last Saturday, the guy came out. See, when they want to, when they push, they can do it. Guy came out, fixed the washing machine. I told her, you know, we got four kids, you know.
Oh, I know what it's like.
And then she called back Monday, and I said, you know, I'm going to send a letter to your corporate headquarters recommending you for a promotion and a $100,000 a year raise. And I was ecstatic, you know. And she, well, thank you, Mr. Henry. I appreciate that very much, sir. We always appreciate comments when we do a good job. I said, well, you can be assured that I'm going to write a letter. Today's Thursday, and I haven't gotten around to it, but...
Doesn't hurt to have a microphone.
Well, what's that supposed to mean?
Oh, come on, man. The only reason they call you up is on account of the radio show.
Bull crap, man. She never once mentioned I was on the radio. Not once.
Oh, come on. You think anybody believe that? You'd have to be some kind of a retard.
Bud, I'm telling you, this chick called... Chick. This lady calls me up and says to me, she saw our service record, dude. You understand what I'm saying?
What do you mean?
I'm saying there's a whole list of crap that we've had problems with these machines. So she's looking at it. She goes, oh, we got to go out and we got to help this guy.
Come on, man. Only reason why she called you up is on account of you might get on the radio and say she's a whore or something.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Are you stupid or something, man? We ain't even on in Chicago. So how the hell could she have heard me there?
Somebody could have sent her a letter.
Sent her a letter? You mean like an email?
Maybe, or maybe they just wrote one.
Yeah, that's it.
Probably sent it snail mail.
Yeah, so Shirley gets into her office one day. Oh, look at this. Opens it up, you know. Let's see here. Dear Shirley, you should really help Phil Hendry. He's a big radio personality. Signed Al, you know, or more likely Bud.
Well, there, now you got to it.
Did you write her a letter?
Yes. I did, because I knew you're having problems.
You wrote a letter to Sears in Chicago, to Shirley?
Yeah.
Snail mail?
Yeah, because I don't have a computer.
Put a stamp on it and everything, huh?
What, does that make me a retard?
That don't make you a retard. I heard of anybody writing a letter lately except my mom, who's 100 years old. She writes to her sister, who's 98. And I said to her once, hey, how about a little of that email going on, Mom? Oh, get out of here. What are you? Are you crazy? I'm 100. Are you out of your mind? Well, I mean, I just... No. What do you mean you just? I'm 100. I have stamps. I have my little envelopes here. I've got my little Curly Q return sticker thing that I slap up there that, you know, the Diabetes Foundation sends you. You know, I use all them. And when I'm done with those, I get the ones with the dog faces on them. I don't know. I've got my little pen that I ink and very delicately write out the script. And my sister and I write each other. Your aunt.
Maybe she lives in Kankakee. We're on there.
Who?
Shirley.
Are you back on her?
I told you we're on in Kankakee.
All right, she lives in Kankakee, and she got your freaking snail mail letter. And she said, I better, this Hendry guy, he's a heavy hitter, man. He may not be on in Chicago, but by God, he's doing boxcars in Kankakee. So we better get over there and fix his Kenmore.
Hey, I got a joke. Shirley lives in Kankakee, said Bud. And then he walked out of, ow! What do that for?
Because you're a jackball. In any event, yeah, so that's, you know, but most cats are using email these days. That's the happening thing. See? All right, Phil Hendry Show at 1-800-449-8686. Later on in the program, Hal and Viola will be visiting us. At least they said they would be calling. I believe they're flying once again to Laughlin. And on Monday of next week, it is the Bobby Dooley Marathon. Now, we'll have 3 solid hours of Bobby Dooley and all of her unacceptable antics. Who knows what she'll be into, but these will be some classic programs from the past shows having to do with Bobby Dooley. And that'll be Monday. That'll be our Labor Day Marathon. We do it every year. Did we do a Bobby last year? We do Lloyd Marathons on Memorial Day. I know that. And also, we had a guy call last hour. I was talking about a really cool game called 6 Degrees of George Bush. Because I'm not trying to be a smartass, but... The fact is, everybody blames the guy for everything. So I thought, well, what the hell? I bet you could link the worst, most horrific things in history to George Bush. Like, the most recent being, he caused all this stuff in New Orleans. Now, look. Yeah, man, he should have got the levy. You know, those cats down in New Orleans, man, they've been looking for bread for that levy since for 40 years, man. There ain't a president, including Bush, that hadn't turned him down. Anyway, if you really want to connect Bush to everything, this game, 6 degrees of George Bush, is a beautiful thing. For instance, I said 6 degrees of George Bush, connect George Bush and the Holocaust. All right. Some guy called and he said George Bush's dad, Prescott Bush, used to sell steel to Hitler, and Hitler used that steel to lay railroad lines, and on those railroad lines rode the boxcars that the concentration camp inmates were in, and then they went and they stuck them in a gas chamber. There, Bush and the Holocaust. All right. All right, your next project, folks, 6 degrees of George Bush, Bush and the bubonic plague. Or did I already do that one?
Yeah.
All right, how about this one? Bush and Typhoid Mary. Aha! Try that one. Bush and Typhoid Mary. Do you know who Typhoid Mary was? Literally, seriously, there was a typhoid outbreak. And I'm not even sure I know what typhoid is. Other than it's an extremely deadly disease that we had serious problems with. Harry just put up Bush and slavery. That's probably easy. Bush... I just drew a blank. Bush and slavery. Bush and Typhoid Mary. Now, Typhoid Mary, she existed. She didn't know it, but she had typhoid, and she was carrying typhoid, and she worked somewhere in New York, or maybe it was Chicago, I don't know. It might have been the 18th century, but then again the 19th. See, I'm really clear on this. In any event, this woman, Typhoid Mary, was carrying this disease, and she was infecting everybody. She might have been the very first patient zero that we were able to identify of any epidemic. And Typhoid Mary infected all kinds of people, gave them typhoid. And I think when the authorities finally found her and said, you are typhoid, you got all this typhoid on you, she said, oh, why don't you give me a break? And she went back to whatever she was doing, you know, making donuts or something, you know, making lemonade with her bare hands. And they finally had to incarcerate her. In other words, quarantine her and get her away from people. Typhoid Mary. All right, so it's 6 degrees of George Bush, Typhoid Mary. Go ahead, pull that one.
Here's one. I got one for you.
Go ahead, bud.
Bush and boobs.
Bush and breasts? Boobs?
Yeah.
I said something that's bad, you idiot.
Oh.
Go ahead, connect Bush to boobs.
He is a boob.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, world famous Phil Henry Show. Stuff in New Orleans continues to be on a very iffy, you know, kind of iffy footing down there, baby. They even reported some of the cops joined in the looting. Fortunately, there was a news crew on hand. Martin Savage from CNN was there. And he said, what are you doing to a cop that was loading a shopping cart full of stuff? And the cop said, just doing my job. And she left the shopping cart there. I mean, let me tell you a little bit about New Orleans, just so you understand. I lived there for about a year. That doesn't make me a veteran of lore, you know, New Orleans lore. But I will say that the first thing people told me when I got there is the coppers down there ain't exactly what you'd call on the up and up. It's a very, very interesting place, Louisiana. Very interesting. And there's a tradition. This isn't corruption. You can't call it corruption. This is a long-standing tradition in Louisiana, dating back to the days of the French and the Spanish, that, what is the word they use in Jamaica? Pilfering? Pilfering is a part of doing business. Pilfering and paying and greasing palms and all of that stuff is just part of the life, man. So if you are in politics, especially in Louisiana, you understand how the game's played. And if you don't dig it, don't live there. That's just about how it goes. As the Cajuns would say, you haul ass. Because you ain't going to change it. But when it gets down to a situation like this where you're looking at how people are out of control, man, maybe they ought to start thinking twice about how they hire their cops down there. 1-800-449-8686. Just an idea, I mean, unless you want your cops looting. I mean, if they need the stuff, why not? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Anyway, they got looters running wild in New Orleans. According to this story here, Mayor Ray Nagin has ordered 1,500 cops to leave their search and rescue mission and return to the streets to stop looting that has turned increasingly hostile as the city plunges deeper into chaos. Now, I'm just quoting a news story. Is that true? I don't know. Isn't that great? I'm quoting Associated Press, but I can't tell you whether that's true or not. I just can't. Because I don't know whether I'm reading something that was called in a panic by a reporter or what. But it sounds to me like they could use a little bit of that, what do you call, martial law? I mean, you know, there were not forget the National Guard, because apparently nobody's calling them out. It's Wednesday. Let's get something going, baby, huh? Maybe what they ought to do, maybe Bush ought to step in and just send freaking Marines down there and start blasting some of these guys that are busting through these stores. They looted a nursing home, man. Dig that. I mean, what's going on? Look, first of all, New Orleans, you have to understand, is a very poor city. Governor Kathleen Blanco is her name. So get some guys down there with some firepower and start firing at some of these guys, as in power, as in fire, as in bullets, as in you're dead. So anyway, see, New Orleans is a very poor city. Billions of dollars go through that port every day. Billions. And yet... Or maybe it's millions. What do you think, bud?
I don't know.
It's probably billions. Maybe millions. Okay, it's millions go through that port every day.
Boy, are you credible.
And yet that town is one of the poorest, as a city, it's one of the poorest in America. So it's, you know, that's just the way things are done, man. You think you're going to go down there and change it? Forget it. I mean, when I was down there, they had a Mayor Dutch Morial, Mayor Dutch. He didn't do diddly squat any more than any of these other cats did. The only thing they ever got done in New Orleans is build that freaking Superdome. And I'll tell you something else. You can leave New Orleans one day, come back 20 years later, and man, it ain't changed. I got off the freaking train in that town, went down to the same bar I used to go into when I was working at NOE-FM in the Quarter, walked in, and I actually asked the girl behind the counter, I said, hey, or the woman at the bar, and I said, hey, who owns this place? You know, he just sold it. How long did he have it for? 30 years. So it was the same kid. Guy sold it the week before I got there. Same town, man. Nothing's changed. The only thing that they had added were a couple of the casinos. No one cares about those. People go to New Orleans to drink and party and walk around and eat those donuts and have another Pat O'Brien Hurricane or whatever they're selling, and then go to the Court of the Two Sisters, try to score some of that absinthe, and just do the do and the funky chicken too, man. Ain't nobody going to stand around in a... What do you want to stand around a casino for when there's stuff to see? You go to Vegas to go to a casino because there ain't nothing to see. You walk outside of a casino in Vegas, with all due respect, folks, because you know where the casinos are in Vegas, walk out of a casino in Vegas, you're in the middle of freaking Wyatt Earp, and it's Tombstone. All those really cool-looking, like I often say, Vegas is gorgeous at night, but in the daytime, you might as well be in Mojave at a freaking, like one of those chain-link fenced-in car lots. New Orleans is different. Who wants to go and say, walk around, do this, do that, go here, go there. Okay, so it's a very poor city, and that's just how things are done down there. And it's never going to change so long as the people... are living it. And there's a lot of poverty and there's a lot of poor folks. So now you got a hurricane blasting through there. Everybody's flooded out. And this, you got cops that are joining in the looting. I mean, you get a real good look at what that city's about. Now, I'm not saying that they're any worse than, say, L.A. when we had the riots after Rodney King, right? I mean, God knows we've had our fair share of unacceptable behavior. I'm just telling you, you got a good look at a town sometimes. So, says here that these cops are looting and you know, the other people are looting and the thieves commandeered a forklift and pushed open some storm shutters at a pharmacy. And then they went in and they looted a nursing home. Well, that's not too bad. And then they went into the nursing home. You know, this is why I question the credibility of some of these reports, because you got a reporter who is trying to scoop all the other news gathering agencies. And all the other news gathering agencies, guess who they're trying to scoop? You got it, Matt Drudge. So they're just getting their information and they're screaming it into the phone or they're typing on their little laptop or their BlackBerry. Now, what's the worst thing a guy could do? Nurse, loot a nursing home. So naturally the cat's going to put that down. And they're even looting a nursing home. You're kidding me. No, no, they stole the crutches and everything and then laughed as the people fell. Just like that. I saw it. Okay, and then what else? And then they went in there and they kicked everybody's ass. Are you sure, man? I'm sure. All these latchkey old folks in there, we're going to have to just tie them to their beds and leave them. I don't know what the hell to do. And then they're running around, and these cops, like I say, man, when you see this stuff in the news, believe it after you've had it confirmed about 19 times. All right, 1-800-449-8686, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, back with more news and commentary right after this.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Let's take a call now on our beautiful little radio show here tonight, where the weather, fortunately for us, our weather's dry. 1-800-449-8686. Is Hal?
Hello, young man. How are you? This is Hal Levalier. How's it going, Phil?
Oh, Hal, how are you?
I'm doing very well, and we're enjoying the hell out of your program tonight. And she doesn't like the language I use. We're enjoying it. This is Hal Levalier, Phil. You know, you remember me?
Yeah, I remember you.
Yeah, we're on our way to Laughlin. I've got my Ola here. We are having just a hoot of a time. We just love the hell out of your program, Phil. Excuse my language. But we're calling up, and Viola had a question, and I'll pass the phone to her, and then I want to get in touch. I got to get in touch with the Fresno Tower, so excuse me for a moment, but I'll pass the phone to Viola, and she'll ask you her question. Okay, Phil? Okay?
Yes, fine. Give it to her.
All right, I'm passing the phone over to Viola now. I'm going to get in touch with the Fresno Tower, and I'm passing the phone over to her now.
Give it to her.
All right, here, hon.
Jesus. What's that bumping around, man? Why don't you give the phone to her?
Well, she's in the bathroom. The phone's bumping around because we're hitting turbulence, that's all.
Will you wait till she gets out of the bathroom, then give her the phone?
Well, what do you want me to do in the meantime, son?
Talk to me or something, man. I don't know.
All right, I'm here. The weather right now, we're clear all the way through to the county, to the state line. Now, the control tower just told us we're going to get a little bit of weather out over the desert, but you know how it is when that hot air meets the... Oh, here she is.
Viola.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful. We just love your show. Oh, God. I feel 10 pounds lighter. I just used the toilet. Did Hal tell you?
Yes, yes, ma'am.
All right. You told him I could use the toilet.
Yes, I did.
I wanted you to know I used the toilet, Phil. That's why I wasn't on the phone. God, do I feel 10 to 15 pounds lighter. But you know, Hal loves the cheese log over there at Fordley's, so we eat that for dinner. We always have the cheese log.
Give me the phone.
We love it. Have you had the cheese log there, Phil?
No, I don't even know the place.
Oh, you gotta go. It's right next to Pinnacle Peaks. They've got a delicious cheese log. But the problem is, of course, every time we finish it, we get up in the plane, Viola has to go ahead and squeeze one out, and the next thing you know, we've got ourselves a weight problem. So I'm gonna have to land at Bakersfield and refuel simply because of the cheese log over there. And my thought is we go ahead and we continue on to Laughlin. Well, she can get herself the baked potato with the garlic sour cream there. It's not the same as the cheese log, but it certainly doesn't add the extra weight once she's evacuated. Now, let me give you the phone.
I don't need to hear all of this stuff. Why'd you guys call, okay?
Why don't you get that thing on loop, okay, so it quits stopping, and I sound like a jackass talking in an airplane, and suddenly I'm just, here, Viola.
Hi, Phil, Viola. Oh, God, do I feel better. You know what you're going to want to have to do, though, don't you?
Get a forklift.
Phil, are you there?
I'm here, yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry, honey. We're so confused up here. We have a question. Our granddaughter loves to eat. She loves to eat, and we love to encourage her to eat because we think children should be able to eat. Now, her mother, our daughter, doesn't like all the extra weight, you know? And we said, well, what about the Dove?
What about the Dove thing?
Telling him about it. What about the Dove girls, Phil? What do you think of them?
I think they're beautiful. I like them.
You like fat women?
I don't even think they're fat. I think they're lovely women. They're real women. I mean, like I said, what is it with that freaking thing, man, that it keeps going out? I don't know. Is that your plane?
Whatever.
Anyway, I like them, yeah.
Well, I just think that our... God, it's stalling again.
You guys stalling?
It's all right. This time, Phil, we've got parachutes, so we're okay. We're all right. We're going to be fine. Let me just kill the stall meter on this thing. No, we're totally fine, Phil. I guess we're not.
Let me just see something here, man, because why wasn't that working? Gosh darn it, it was supposed to go something like this.
We're fine, Phil. Don't worry about us. Everything's just great.
Well, I mean, you're gonna have the... why am I not hearing the stall meter? All right, now wait just a minute. Where's the... How come I got the same thing in two different sources? Excuse me, folks, but it's really tight in my freaking jaws now. Plane stall, number 3. Not at it. Is that plane stall? It's supposed to sound something like this.
We're fine, Phil. We'll be okay because we've got parachutes.
We're fine, Phil. We have parachutes.
Oh, thank God you've got parachutes. Okay.
Hey, what's that in the window?
I think it's the ground.
There, that's how it was supposed to go.
Don't get all upset just because you don't know how to punch buttons, you spaz.
I know how to punch buttons. I didn't have it upright in this thing. And you want to know why? I'll tell you why. Because we got to keep one of them free of music. And why do we have to keep one of them free of music? So that it doesn't get recorded on the podcast. And why is that? Because we don't want to pay royalties. And why is that? Because the RIAA wants royalties. So as a result, I got to stay away from Digicart 1. I got to go to Digicarts 2, 3, and 4. And I forget where I am because I have astigmatism in one of my eyes. That's right, bud. My depth perception is bad. So blow it out your... If I may just say this to you, bud, blow it out your...
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Boy, radio websites are the worst on God's earth. I mean, I'm not talking about individual show websites so much as I am just radio news websites. We have one here in Los Angeles. It's pretty bad. And here's the little blurb. TV execs are buzzing about Phil Hendry's sitcom Fillmore Middle, with talk that it will make the schedule on NBC as a midseason replacement. He has no idea what TV execs are buzzing about. And it ain't my sitcom. It's Matt Tarse's sitcom. And it ain't even a sitcom yet. It's a pilot. Oh, God. Hey, you know what? Don, you were listening to my show last night at 9:40, so why don't you just say it? The problem is that I don't contribute to his website, and I don't particularly like it anymore. It has come close to slandering so many people. The guy has had to be talked to that I don't even contribute to that kind of misinformation. I don't want to have anything to do with it anymore. You know, he's a nice man up to a point, but I won't have anything to do with a website that needs to be, because it's so desperate to be noticed that it walks right up to the line of slandering people. I got no use for that, man. And if you listen to something on my show and you hear me say, hey, maybe we'll get on a schedule, then just say it. Don't say TV executives are buzzing like you were over having yourself three fingers of cutty with, Frank Gray watching Margaret's rear end, you know. All right, New Orleans is really in a serious way tonight, folks. I mean, I can't ignore the story, and I would say this. If you pray, pray. Whatever you do that's good for people, do it, including whatever help we can render the Red Cross or any agencies. And right now, and you know what? The last thing we need, man, just politics aside, I mean, you cats with this, Bush caused it. I mean, seriously. Some chick today is on a radio, and this is the mindless stuff that was being entered. And I'll say it was on an Air America station, okay? I got no problem with Air America. I mean, you know, such as it is. This chick's there saying, dig it. It's just like 9/11. Bush isn't even. Are you kidding? Are you going to go down that road again? The guy is. First of all, the President of the United States doesn't automatically run down. First of all, when you're looking at a situation like that, the first person that's looking at it is the governor, the mayor, to see whether it's a local problem, federal problem, state problem. What do we got going on here? For anybody to get on the radio and say, you know, Bush somehow is not doing his job again because here's this. You are desperate to put a collar on the air, man. Let something like that get on. Honestly, get politics aside. So anyway, the situation in New Orleans is so horrible. It's unprecedented in our lifetime. The city is going to have to be evacuated. In other words, there will be nobody left in New Orleans. Okay, it's an old city. It's one of America's first cities. It is. You talk about a crossroads of American culture, man. You got it down there, and places out of control, man. Carjackings, lootings. You know, I mean, they're placed. I mean, they either get Delta Special Forces in there to start cleaning some of this stuff up, or I don't know what, but got to keep an eye on it overnight. And I'm sure a lot of it'll be coming up in your local news and your national news. It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.